We pray, Lord God, as we hear your word today, come and speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence. Fill this place now with your glory and your wonderful presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to read out of Daniel again, chapter 7, starting at verse 15, Time to Put on Jesus. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the vision that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever.
Amen.
Then I wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the ten horns on its head and about the other horn that came up, before which three of them fell. The horn that looked most imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them until the Ancients of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The ten horns are the ten kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue the other three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress His holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into His hands for times and time and a half. But the court will sit and His power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all kingdoms of the heavens will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. And this is the word of the Lord.
Remember this vision that he had? There were four beasts. The first one was a lion, and we determined that was Babylon. The second was a bear, which was the Medo-Persian Empire, and later just Persia. The leopard was Greece under Alexander the Great, and then it was divided up to his four generals because he didn't have any kids. And the beast was so terrible that Daniel couldn't describe it. And in the Revelation of John, how John describes it, he gives the characteristics of the lion, the bear, and the leopard because it's so terrible. And we just describe that as Rome, okay, which is so similar to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And if you look at it, Rome was the most terrible beast. There had never been an empire like that in the world. They ruled for 500 years, okay? 500 years with a bunch of guys with shields and spears. You got to be pretty brutal to do that, right? And they were, okay? No prisoners, all right? Then there was ten horns. And we learned last week that what happened to the Roman Empire when it was conquered? It was divided into ten kingdoms, right? And three of these kingdoms are no more. And then there's the little horn. And it's all over the place as far as who the little horn is. And I just define it as Antichrist. Some say it was Alexander the Great. Some say it's the Turkish Empire. Some say Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth. There's a variety. Some people say the Pope, all right? All I know is it's Antichrist, all right? And when we're dealing with apocalyptic, we don't always get a correct interpretation, okay? It's because we're talking about a vision that Daniel had, all right? But as you can see, all these prophecies have been fulfilled, right? Okay? And then what happens after those prophecies? The kingdom comes, and the Son of Man comes on the clouds. So it's coming soon. Amen? Now, Daniel has this prediction or this prophecy, and he can't figure it out, so he needs an angel to help him figure it out. Bob Utley says, one characteristic of apocalyptic literature is interpreting angels. This is another way to show God's sovereignty. No human can know the true interpretation without heaven's help. These visions and dreams are given to communicate inspired truths from God, but they are still under God's control. Only some understand. This is revelation for God's people. When I read this, I thought of Daryl. How many years did you read the Bible? And you never got it, right? Until you've received the Holy Spirit. You needed the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing for us. We should pray for the Holy Spirit to come to us before we read the Bible. All right? That God speaks to us. What's that? Yeah. And we need to have Jesus teach us. Even today, because Jesus is alive, right? And He's with us. Amen? Verse 17, the four great beasts are four kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Amen. Alrighty. God shows Daniel and us that the kings and kingdoms of man are confused, corrupted, and controlled by chaos. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that what we see today? Daniel is told in 7:17 that the beasts are kings. Remember that you cannot separate kings from their kingdoms. The kingdoms will often take on the character of their ruler. The same should be said of us. If Jesus is our king, we should take on His character and purpose. Have we taken on the character and purpose of Jesus? Yes and no. Depends what day you catch us, right, Robert? Okay. And this is a very important point. Being a Christian isn't about being perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We're all works in progress, right? All of us. Even pastors. We're all works in progress, right? And we call that sanctification. That's the Holy Spirit making us more like Jesus Christ. But the more we walk with Jesus, just like His disciples walked with Him for 3 years, the more we become like Him. And the greatest compliment we can give from somebody is if somebody says, "Are you a Christian?" Then we know that His light is shining through us. Amen? Verse 19, then I wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast. And I also wanted to know about... It's kind of interesting. Not even Daniel knew. He had the vision and he didn't know. Okay? I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before, which 3 of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. So from last week, we know this fourth beast appears to be Rome. Okay? Matthew Henry writes, "He, the Antichrist, this little horn, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He will not cut them off at once, but wear them out by long oppressions and a constant course of hardship put upon them, ruining their estates and weakening their families. The design of Satan has been to wear out the saints of the Most High, that they may be no more in remembrance. But the attempt is vain, for while the world stands, God will have a church in it." Amen? But doesn't our culture try to wear us down? I remember in my previous life, I was in sales. And when I was in my 20s, I went to a sales school in San Francisco for 2 or 3 weeks. And what they taught us, I was selling paper at the time, and you go to the businesses and you make cold calls on them. But it takes 7 times. You have to call on somebody 7 times on an average before you get an order. Okay? That's a lot, okay? I was talking with my son Ricky, who works at Quicken Loans, and if you need a loan, he's a great guy, okay? But he said, it's an average of 15 calls, okay? But we get more than 7 or 15 calls from our culture every day, right? You see it on TV, you hear it on the radio, okay? You hear it in the music. Our culture is bombarding us and saying, "This is the way to go. This is the way to go," right? And God says, "No, this is the way to go." Right? And I can't even count how many times, you know, I hear it every day, stuff that is anti-Christ. Okay? Every day we hear it. So if you're feeling worn out, put on Jesus. Listen to Christian radio, I'd recommend, 89.1. Or turn off the news. Just turn off the news, okay? It's all negative. And reflect on Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, His kingdom is going to rule, right? And His kingdom should be ruling in our hearts right now. Amen? Verse 21, as I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. The Antichrist makes it difficult for believers in every generation. Father Berrigan said, if you're going to follow Jesus, then you better look good on wood. And ain't that the truth, huh? Amen? Bob Udley says, this shows the historical setting of the time of the little horn of the Fourth Empire will be the severe persecution of God's people. And the church was persecuted during the time of Rome. God allows this to happen for His ultimate purpose. We must remember that this chapter had a word for those in exile in Babylon, as well as for believers of every age who suffer persecution for their faith in Yahweh and His Messiah, and do not always understand why. God is in control even amidst suffering and persecution. And isn't that the truth? Do we always know why? No, we don't know why. But God's dealing with a fallen creation, and He's dealing with fallen humanity. And only through Him can it make any sense. It doesn't make any sense any other way, okay? Because we know that God is love. Amen? But the little horn is judged, okay? This little popping off loudmouth is finally judged. And today people will say, well, God is love and God is not going to judge anybody. Is that true? Yeah. What's that? God is love is true, yes. And because He's just, He's all just and He's all loving. And I, as I studied this, I said, thanks be to God that we do have a judge, right? Pastor Billy Rick says, what if there was no judgment? If the evil of this world is not judged, how evil would that be? The Hitlers, Stalins, Osama bin Ladens, Nebuchadnezzars, rapists, murderers, etc., are not ultimately judged if they reject Jesus. Is this not then hell on earth? Yeah. And we got a little bit of that hell on earth anyway, right? But thanks be to God, we know ultimately, for the babies, the little babies and kids who were crucified by ISIS in the Middle East, there is going to be justice for them. It may not happen in this life, but it will happen, okay? And isn't that comforting for the people of God to know that ultimately those who offend us are offending Jesus Christ, and there is going to be a price to be paid. There is accountability, okay? Amen? But, and this is a big but, B-U-T, but, that sounds bad. It sounds better in Spanish. Pero, okay? Judging is God's job. That's not our job, right? We leave the judgment to God. Amen? Verse 24. The ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. Remember, there were ten, and three of them disappeared, right? So this has all been fulfilled, okay? It's all been fulfilled, and it's falling off also. Okay. Here, let's try again. There we go. That might work a little bit. Okay. That is Antichrist, okay? Alrighty. Now, there are many interpretations of the ten horns. I believe it's... some people believe it's Persian kings, Greek kings, the Roman emperors, etc. I believe it's these ten kingdoms that Rome was divided into. Is anybody absolutely right or wrong in this? No. Because we're dealing with apocalyptic literature. It's Revelation, all right? So it's kind of nebulous, all right? And I love what Matthew Henry says about this. He writes, now the question is, who is this enemy? Whose rise, reign, and ruin are foretold? interpreters have not agreed. Some will have the fourth kingdom to be that of the Seleucids, and the little horn to be Antiochus, and show the accomplishment of all this in the history of the Maccabees. So Broughton and many others, but others will have the fourth kingdom to be that of the Romans, and the little horn to be Julius Caesar, and the succeeding emperors, says Calvin. John Calvin. The Antichrist, the papal kingdom, says Mr. Joseph Mead, that wicked one, which is the little horn, is to be consumed by the brightness of Christ's second coming. The Pope assumes a power to change times and laws, an absolute despotic power, as he calls it. So he believes the Pope is. Others make the little horn to be the Turkish Empire, and so Martin Luther, and others. This is the good part. Now, I cannot prove either side to be wrong. And therefore, since prophecies sometimes have many fulfillings, and we ought to give Scripture its full latitude, and this is in many other controversies, I am willing to allow that they are both in the right. So in plain English, lighten up, okay? This is in regard to apocalyptic, though, okay? In the Gospel, it's clear, okay? And other types of literature in the New Testament and the Old Testament, it's clear. God's Word is clear. Not so with apocalyptic, with Revelation, okay? So just lighten up, right? If you believe in the essentials, you have a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, lighten up. Amen? I like what Matthew Henry says here, but it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther, and since in October we're going to be celebrating the 500th year when Martin Luther, a little German monk, nailed 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg, which changed the church forever, because then the Word of God became the primary authority for Christians. Amen? What he wrote is, if, however, you feel and are inclined to think you have made it, flattering yourself with your own little books, teaching or writing, because you have done it beautifully and preached excellently, if you are highly pleased when someone praises you in the presence of others, if you perhaps look for praise and would sulk or quit what you are doing if you did not get it, if you are of that stripe, dear friend, then take yourself by the ears. And if you do this the right way, you will find a beautiful pair of big, long, shaggy donkey ears. Then do not spare any expense. Decorate them with golden bells so that people will be able to hear you wherever you go, pointing their fingers at you and say, "See, see, there goes that clever beast who can write such exquisite books and preach so remarkably well." Luther goes on to say, "Let us be proud and seek honor in the places we can. But in this book, the honor is God's alone. As it is said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To whom be glory, world without end. Amen." Okay? In the essentials, we don't move, okay? But when it comes to the apocalyptic and different stuff, we need to humble ourselves. And in fact, we should humble ourselves every time we read the Bible, because we're listening to what God says to us, right? If you go in with pride, then you're going to attach what you believe to what you're reading, right? You did that for 29 years. Yeah. Right, because you were hearing what he had to say rather than what you wanted to hear. And there's so many times we want to just hear what we want to hear, okay? And we have to listen to what God says. And by the way, you bring up another good point. Don't drink while you're reading the Bible. It's not a good thing, okay? It may seem exciting, but the next morning it's not going to be good, okay? I've done that, all right? I've done that. Verse 25. He will speak against the Most High and oppress His holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into His hands for a time, times and a half. Most theologians believe the little horn is the Antichrist. Some believe He lives today and in every generation. That would be me. Others believe He is going to be the ultimate bad guy at the end of time. I believe He's both. I believe that we have the spirit of Antichrist in the world. We've had it from the beginning. And that eventually there's going to be one ultimate really bad guy, okay? 1 John chapter 2, John writes, "Who is the liar? It is whoever denies Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son." So that leaves it pretty wide open, right? It means he lives today, the Antichrist lives today, and in every generation, right? There's going to be the spirit of Antichrist. Correct. And it's not enough just to for the Antichrist, it's not enough for them to just say, oh, go believe what you want. No. They want to try to diminish Christianity and Jesus Christ. And isn't that what we have today? Everywhere, right? People don't want us to even say Jesus' name. I wear this cross all the time. There's times people look at me really weird. And not in a pleasant way, okay? There's other times people say, God bless you, brother, okay? So, Revelation, this is the good news, the Revelation 19. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured with the false prophet, so Antichrist was captured, who had performed the signs on its behalf. With this signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. I believe Antichrist will be the ultimate bad guy at the end of time, but this is the good news. He's going to lose. He's going to lose. Amen? And the lake of fire, hell, was not created for us. It was created for Antichrist and the demons. Okay? So Jesus warns us. And people will say, I don't like the Old Testament. There's too much judgment. Let's read about Jesus. Okay? Well, this is what Jesus says in Matthew 24. By the way, read Matthew 24 and 25 if you want to know about end times. Okay? I believe Jesus is the clearest on the subject. Okay? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. By the way, did you know the rapture happened yesterday? We're all in trouble. Okay. Somebody, a guy in the jail told me, the rapture's going to happen today. And I said, man, are we in trouble. Okay, but anyway. Because of the increased wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And isn't that the truth? Hasn't love grown cold in our world today? But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And this sounds like Daniel, doesn't it? The Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. They will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the others. So when Jesus returns, he's going to send his angels to us and take us up to be with him. He better have a couple really big angels to take me up, okay? But that's the good news for us. When we live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we know what's going to happen to us, right? Regarding tribulation, because everybody hears about the tribulation and rapture, some believe that Christians will be removed from the world before this tribulation. Their position is called pre-tribulation rapture. Some believe Christians will be removed before the Great Tribulation. Their position is called mid-tribulation rapture. Some believe Christians will endure until the return of Christ at the end of tribulation. Their position is called post-tribulation rapture. Take your pick. Okay? I guess I'm a post, Pastor. Okay? I'm also amillennial. People talk about the 1,000 years. Apocalyptic is very symbolic, especially as far as numbers. And when I say amillennial, I believe what's going to happen. There is a rapture, but it'll happen. We don't know when Christ is going to return. He's going to return on the clouds with the saints, and he's going to take us up to be with him. And that's the rapture, okay? There's been a lot. The primary belief in America now is something called dispensational theology, which didn't start until around 1849, 1850 by Darby. And he came up with this whole tribulation, pre, post, and all this. And also the fact that there's 1,000 years where Christ is going to reign. And, you know, he invented all that, okay? Or discovered it, however you feel about it, okay? But once again, if we get to what Matthew Henry said and what Luther said in regards to the end times, does anybody really know? And didn't Jesus say no one will know? So why fight about it? Okay? I have Christian brothers who believe in the rapture and the 1,000 year tribulation. That's fine. We still believe Jesus is Lord. And we live in a relationship with Him. Amen? Verse 26, but the court will sit and its power will be taken away and completely destroyed. The Antichrist will be condemned, but so will all who have not accepted Jesus as Lord and not chosen to live in a relationship with Him. This will be a terrifying experience for unbelievers. But, peril, for us, it will be a time of glorious victory. And I have one of my seminary students was doing a Bible study on Daniel, and he went through it, and he said, I had to calm everybody down because the last part's all these prophecies and apocalyptic. He said, they're all worried about the end times. And I said, I don't know. In my church, everybody says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Okay? You know, because that's our victory, right? You know? And we're going to win. That's the primary message. This is a book of hope. Okay? Daniel is. So is the Revelation. So is Ezekiel. These are books of hope. When Jesus speaks in 24 and 25, He's saying, hang in there. You're going to win. Just live with Me. All right? So for us, it's going to be glorious, all right? And we want it to be glorious for everybody, because can you imagine how terrifying that's going to be for people who don't believe in Jesus Christ when they see Jesus coming on the clouds with the saints? That would scare the daylight out of you, right? But for us, it's like, come down, sweet chariot, right? Okay? And that's why it's so important to live in that relationship with Jesus, because we have no worries. We have no worries about the end times, but we have no worries when we die. And chances are most of us here are going to die before Jesus returns. And believe I kind of feel like Woody Allen about death. I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be around when it happens, okay? I know where I'm going. And it's not because I'm perfect, right, Robin?
Yeah.
Amen. But Jesus is. And I belong to Him. Amen? Verse 27, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey Him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Even Daniel was worried about it. Okay. Jesus says in Matthew 24, at last the sign of the coming of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the nations on earth, and they will see the Son of Man arrive on the clouds of heaven in power and great glory. He will send forth His angels with trumpet sound, and they will gather His chosen from the furthest ends of the earth. In the end, Jesus wins, and so do we. And once again, not because we're perfect. We're all works in progress. The reason we don't worry is because we are His and He is ours. Amen? This is not science fiction. This is not the Sci-Fi Channel. Look at this. This is history. This guy predicted it 300 years before it happened. Okay? So this is not science fiction. Okay? This is the truth. Jesus is going to return. All right? And for us, it's going to be a glorious time. But it should also give us a sense of urgency to let people know, right? And that's, believe me, pastors don't like to preach on this, but on apocalyptic, but I want you all not to worry about your salvation when Jesus does return or when you die. I want you to be going up to heaven with Me when He returns, okay? I want to see all of you in heaven. And I do that by telling you the truth, okay? This is truth, all right? So what do? How do we get ready? 2 Peter. Peter writes, "While you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to live a pure and blameless life and be at peace with God." And by the way, is there any way else we're going to get peace other than through Jesus Christ? No. I talked to the guys in jail yesterday and I said, you can try drugs, you can try alcohol, you can try sex, try everything. Nothing's going to give you peace except Jesus Christ. And they were all nodding their heads, yes. Matthew 25, Jesus said, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him." And isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? We just don't know. Our lives are so fragile. Our lives are so fragile. There was a man who was diagnosed with cancer, and he was pretty much in hospice care. And this is back in the days. It was out in the sticks, probably in Iowa or Minnesota or something. The guy was a farmer, and the country doctor drives out, and he always took his golden retriever with him. So he drives to this guy's house, and he leaves his dog in one room, and he goes into the bedroom where the guy's at. And the guy says, "Doc, you've seen a lot of death and stuff, and you're familiar with it." He says, "What's on the other side?" And the doctor simply stands up, and he goes over to the door and opens the door, and his dog runs in. And he said, "Did you see how my dog ran in here?" And the guy said, "Yeah." And he said, "He didn't know what was in here. He didn't know what was going to happen. But he knew his master was there." And in the same way, we know where our master is, right? And that's where we want to go. Amen? May the day of our master's return come quickly. If we don't feel we have that relationship with Jesus, we're going to pray for that right now, because tomorrow may be too late. And it's time to put on Jesus. Amen? Pastor, you want to lead us in prayer, please?
I don't know how people can face either life or death without Jesus, you know. It's just really sad. But it's also very awesome to be in the presence of God's people when they are about to die. I was talking to the hospice chaplain for my mom, and he was talking about how ready he is to go. And she's excited about it. She's a little ticked off about God's timing, but you know that's the way it goes. But it's interesting talking to people there or in jail who have had their lives just destroyed by their own, sometimes actions, a lot of times, most times. But then they see a new chance for new life. Really important that your dad saw that vision. It's all about new life for all of us, not about religion or churchy stuff. So we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for this message. Help us realize that we need to be close to you. We never know. When a car ran right in front of me a few days ago, Lord, and thank you for giving me the alert to slam on my brakes and miss that accident. We just don't know what's going to happen one day to the next. We put our lives in your hands, Lord. I ask you, my mom, all my clients, my teenage boys, so many with a sense of suicide. We come against the spirit of suicide that's so prevalent among young people in our area, Lord. We ask that you be with people, Glendale, Maryville, and this whole area of Phoenix, Lord, that you send revival and new life and new hope to all of us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask that you continue to be with the victims of the floods and the hurricanes and earthquakes, Lord, that you be with them. Also, we pray that you would keep us in peace as a nation, that you would watch over our nation. Our Lord, in your mercy. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.